Hello, hello! Welcome to How to Be a Changemaker. I am so excited to have you here. If you are an organizational leader and have a deep desire to one, motivate yourself better and to lead yourself with deeper courage, confidence, and conviction, two, empower your employees to be their best, and three, innovate and create a work culture that allows everybody to thrive, you are in the right place. My name is Samantha Clark. I am your host. I'm a happiness consultant and resident change maker here, and I cannot wait to share with you all the gems and amazing goodness in this episode. Take a seat, get ready to enjoy, and tuck in. Hello, hello. Welcome. It is another session with me, your host, Samantha Clark. I am super excited today to be talking to you about how to create the right habit bonfire. Now, I'm doing this off the back of Self-Care Week, which is this week. And it's interesting when we think about self-care, there is, you know, the old adage around having the long hot baths or going for a walk in nature or taking some time to reflect and do your gratitude journal. I love all of that. But let's go a little bit deeper and scratch beneath the surface and really think, what does affect our ability to treat ourselves with compassion and kindness? And a lot of the time, what I see in my clients, it is that mental disposition. It is our mind either forcing us to ruminate on things that are beyond our control. It is either putting us in a place where we're thinking so much about the future or this destination thought of where we'll be or how happy we'll be when we get to said point, new job, new house, new relationship, whatever. And it's important to think that every step of the way, whether that is your internal critic or the habits that you have fallen into, all of these perpetuate a decreased sense of happiness, a decreased sense of contentment and fulfillment. And so we have to get into a better habit to form the right actions to really support us to feel like we're being kinder to ourselves, like we are nourishing ourselves continuously. And I wanted to read a quote by Epictetus. He's a Stoic, and it's from his book, Discourses. And he says that every habit and capability is confirmed and grows in its corresponding actions, walking by walking, running by running. Therefore, if you want to do something, make a habit of it. If you don't want to do that, then don't. Make a habit of something else instead. The same principle is at work in our state of mind. When you get angry, you're not only experiencing that evil, but you've also reinforced a bad habit, adding fuel to the fire. So what he's saying is that excellence is not an act, it is a habit. And a habit is this product of our thoughts. The things that we habitually think about really do drive our actions, and our character of mind is what's going to put us in a great place to either do fascinating, amazing, innovative work, or it's going to hold us back. And so when you think about the last week and some of your activities, where have you chosen to lean into more positivity that really promotes a better version of who you want to become? What are you fueling? What are you adding to the fire? And when you get very conscious around either the internal voice, your negative internal critic, and we're going to talk about that shortly, when you get very conscious around what that voice is saying and how it's guiding your actions or how it's stopping you from doing the actions that you want to pursue. So maybe every morning you get up and you're like, oh, today is not a good day to go for a run. It's raining, it's cold, my knee hurts, and therefore we don't go for a run. You're kind of continuing to drive this cycle, which isn't supporting your wider health, your wider self-care. And so I'd like to think about how we can start to harness the inner critic, which does play a huge role in us really nurturing ourselves, showing ourselves that deep self-compassion and that love, and, you know, really giving us that good pat on the back when we need it. But sometimes our inner critic can really inhibit us from being creative, from being experimental. And if we let it run riot, it's a great way of just adding the wrong habits to your fire. So what I think is really special, and when I look at the work that I'm doing now, kind of really blending this art psychotherapy and thinking about the positive psychology elements of it, our inner critic is something that we should be able to harness and also complement it with an inner muse. And this is something I learned recently about the need for us to really start to balance our internal voices and question when the negativity comes up, what is the corresponding good value of that? And so a little exercise I'd love you to try out is thinking about how to befriend your inner critic with the end goal of thinking about how that can boost your self-care, your motivation, your drive, and fuel a positive habit bonfire. So if we start off, think about your inner critic. What comes up when you think about this voice in your head that really does push you to play a smaller game, to not do the things that you say you're going to do? And in some cases, the inner critic can be a bit of a helpful consultant, and most of the time it is a deterrent. So maybe give it a name. Does it have a gender? Does it have a certain way of dressing? Is it vibrant in its personality? Is it playful? Is it very solemn? Is it very sanguine? My inner critic is called Dizzy, if you remember from the book, and it switches gender on me. And it will do its own thing in a very chaotic manner. I want you then to get into an understanding of the dialogue that your inner critic has with you. So take a moment and sit and ask it questions. I know this might sound a bit bizarre, but hang on with me here. Think about asking it questions like, what purpose do you serve? How are you supporting me to move forward in my work? What are you trying to accomplish when you tell me these negative things? How would you really like to help me? Or how can I help you to really get the best out of me through some of the language or the phrases that you're using? And I think it's really important for you to enter into this dialogue, almost as if you could visualize your inner critic sitting opposite you at a table. And delve deep into what is it actually trying to support you to do, trying to steer you away from, trying to get you to pay more attention to certain details. I think that for me is a big thing with my inner critic. It is very much around, have you double checked certain things? Are you sure about moving in this direction? Oftentimes it is there to maybe highlight where I might be feeling any shame or humiliation, stress, you know, the potential for things to go wrong. And then I want you to start to draw a symbol or a portrait, or maybe you can make a little sculpture of what your inner critic actually looks like. What does it visually look like? And you can take some time to do that. You might draw it out. It might, even if you've just got, you know, stick figure art levels, that's fine too. Just create a visual manifestation of your inner critic. And it's really helpful if you can do this so that you can start to see it and bring it to life and notice it so that when it comes up, you're giving it that presence and that shape. Then on the other side, I want you to start thinking about the strengths that your inner critic represents for you. So again, looking at the conversation that your inner critic has, what are some of the strengths that it has? And this is how you can start to draw out your inner muse. So could your inner muse look like good judgment? And how do we start to really look at some of the strengths of your inner critic? Maybe it might be helping you to restrain yourself. Maybe it is about preventing failure, or, you know, what is it that comes up when you think about the strengths of your inner critic? Now, I want you to make a symbol or draw the representation of your inner muse and really think about some of the strengths that you've pulled out and make symbols for that too. So you know, some of the strengths that your inner muse could be providing you are around curiosity, attentiveness, playfulness, and really start to visualize this positive opposition to your critic, the positive strengths that your inner muse has, the ways in which it maybe is the darkness or the light, how they balance off each other. Are they different colors? Do they have different ways of being? And what you'll end up with is two visuals of your inner critic, what it stands for, the symbols of what it, you know, what it's about, the good and the bad points of your inner critic, and then the good points and even some more strengths will be highlighted in your muse. So what is your muse going to do to support you to add more positive logs to your habit bonfire? How is your inner muse going to be in dialogue with your inner critic and heightening more of their strengths and showing your inner critic where it needs to just pipe down and be very quiet? When you start to see how these play out, and it was a great exercise for me, I might share my photos one day, but this picturing of your inner critic and your inner muse collaborating and walking towards helping you accomplish a certain thing is great to start internalizing in your mind. So whenever anything pops up, what would your inner muse say in retaliation? So you can start to have this dialogue and then start to think about what kind of actions does your inner muse want to keep perpetuating at each step of the way? So whether or not it is the discipline to go and work out, whether it is the ability to approach every day with a certain level of curiosity, and whether or not it is to try and bring an appreciation of others or an awareness of others around you to be more other aware. What is it that you can really start to lean into a little bit more and call upon in those moments where you start to become self-deprecating or you are not playing the highest game that you could be? And when you think about the actions that you want your muse to move into, how do you then start to create the right habits around that? And we know that habits or ways of being are cemented from a scientific point of view. If we do this, then this happens. So it's almost like, what actions do I need to start thinking about or being in the present moment with to then perpetuate other actions? So, you know, for me, in the morning, if it is knowing that I do want to stretch and I want to get into a good place with my yoga or my meditation in the morning, it is prepping the space the night before. So as soon as I get up, I've had my hot water, I see my mat, it is a verbal cue and my muse is like, yes, let's do this, because you know you're going to feel good at the end of the day. The nights that I forget to do that, either because I've been out late or, you know, it's just been a long day and it hasn't been a cemented habit, especially now I've moved location, it's definitely, there's been a few nights where I've missed out. There is that little bit of tiny resistance to get going with that in the morning, even though I know it feels good. So really catch yourself and think, what can I do to create the right cues or the right cycles of behavior and routines that keep allowing my muse to shine and put my critic in its place? So hopefully that might be an action that you can take away this week to really start to give a richer viewpoint to self-care for yourself. And it move beyond just the superficiality of, you know, just lighting a beautiful candle and taking a seat or all of that other stuff that comes up when we think about the fanciful self-care ideas. And start to think about, how do I take deeper care of my mind? You know, I remember a great quote that says, your mind, you have to be very aware of the thoughts, because the thoughts are like guests and you have the power to stand at the doorway of your mind and realize, which guests am I choosing to invite into my mind today? I have a choice, and within that choice, I can decide which ones to keep out, which ones to let in, and which ones are going to support me to flourish. So hopefully that has given you some good food for thought this week on how to really think deeply about self-care, befriending your inner critic and inviting an inner muse into your life, and starting to build more of the positive habits that you want to use to fuel your habit bonfire. Have a great week, and I will see you again soon. Hello, hello. Well, what another fantastic episode. Thank you so much for carving out the time to hang out with us and hear everything that was shared today on our podcast. If you are interested in becoming a change maker and something has piqued your interest and you want to either revamp your own ways of looking at your well-being as you lead a team through change, or maybe you want to create deeper interventions in your company that are going to stick and that people care about actually using, why not join our change maker certification? This is our roadmap to helping you go through our three areas of change: becoming a better change maker, empowering and inspiring others to do the same, and amplifying the message that you have created. Check out all the details of our change maker certification on loveitleaveit.co, and I cannot wait to get started with you. See you soon for another amazing episode. Bye for now.